Welcome to Indians Hot Stove Weekly on WTAM 1100, home of the Indians. Here's your host, Nick Camino.
Yes, welcome in. It's another action-packed, fun-filled edition of Indians Hot Stove Weekly coming your way, and that stove is staying mighty hot for the tribe. Last week, we saw the trade that landed Brandon Moss of the Oakland Athletics. In fact, in a little bit here, we'll finally have an opportunity to hear from one of the newest members of the Indians, get his thoughts on coming here to Cleveland. But today, we also got word that the Indians signed free agent right-hander Gavin Floyd, a one-year deal worth a reported $4 million. Tribe General Manager Chris Antonetti saying today that he will join Corey Kluber, Carlos Carrasco, and Trevor Bauer in the Indians' opening day starting rotation. That was pretty big news. He's coming off a few different elbow injuries, but the bottom line is Floyd is a guy who's familiar with the AL Central. He can eat up some innings, spent time with the Chicago White Sox, and if you remember back to the 2008 season with the White Sox, he went 17-8 that year with an ERA of 3.34. So the Tribe hoping they got a little bit of a steal there, and the bottom line is the Indians, they had two major needs coming into this offseason. I think that was very clear. They needed more power for the lineup, and they needed a veteran starting pitcher. And already they've gotten both of those. And I don't think they're even done just yet. They're probably going to look for more ways to improve this club and this 25-man roster. They got a run-producing bat with Brandon Moss and that experienced starter now in Gavin Floyd. We're going to hear from Brandon Moss next, but we'll also hear from Chris Antonetti a little bit later. He told me and some other members of the media today that it sounds like Josh Tomlin, TJ House, Danny Salazar, and Zach McAllister will be the guys battling for that fifth spot in the starting rotation. We've got a lot more news and notes to tell you about, not only regarding the Tribe, but also the AL Central, where teams have really been getting busy improving their rosters. The White Sox, the Tigers, the Royals, the Indians, the Twins, all five teams really doing a nice job improving their ball clubs. We'll look all around Major League Baseball as well. The Yankees were busy last week. The Dodgers were busy last week. It's your one-stop shop for baseball talk. Spring training gonna be here before you know it. 1 hour each week devoted to baseball. We love doing it, and we know you'll enjoy what's coming up over the next hour. I'm Nick Camino. You're listening to Indians Hot Stove Weekly. We'll hear from Brandon Moss next. Don't go anywhere. Stay locked right here. It's the Cleveland Indians Radio Network.
Tomlin's ready. Here it comes. A swing and a fly ball, pretty well hit to right center. On the run is Bourne at the track. This ball is gone. A two-run home run to right center for Brandon Moss. So he's hit his ninth home run. And the Oakland A's have scored three times after two men were out. And the A's now lead the Indians by a score of 3-1.
Total Tribe coverage continues with Indians Hot Stove Weekly on WTAM 1100, home of the Indians. Here again is Nick Camino.
All right, as promised, we're going to finally hear from Brandon Moss, the new Indians outfielder and first baseman that the Tribe acquired last week via a trade with the Oakland Athletics. The Indians traded minor league infielder Joey Wendell to the A's in order to get Moss. It was finalized on the Monday of the winter meetings last week. Boy, were the winter meetings very busy, not only for the Indians, but a lot of teams in the American League Central Division, teams that the Indians will see 19 different times this upcoming season. And baseball in general. I mean, just we saw what the Cubs were able to do. A lot of teams busy throughout Major League Baseball, the Dodgers, the Padres. We'll get into all that as we move along. The Tribe hoping with Brandon Moss to address some of the power that they really need in the middle of their lineup. In case you're just joining us for the first time tonight, we did mention it in the open. The Indians signed right-hander Gavin Floyd today. It was a one-year deal worth a reported $4 million. He is going to have a spot in the Tribe starting rotation. And coming up, we'll have more on that signing. Myself and a couple other members of the media had a chance to chat with Indians general manager Chris Antonetti earlier today over the phone. And he talked about that signing and what the opening day starting rotation may look like when opening day rolls around. So that was pretty big news today. But I want to hear from Brandon Moss. Recently, Tribe broadcaster Jim Rosenhaus had an opportunity to go one-on-one with Moss. Last season, he hit 25 homers, drove in 81 runs. The thing about Moss is he did have a hip injury, And he was so effective in the first half last year. In the first half of the season, he earned his first All-Star selection. He hit .268 with 21 homers. That was just in the first half, but that nagging hip problem sort of cut into his production over the final few months. He did hit two home runs, if you remember, in the one-game wildcard game that they lost eventually to the Kansas City Royals. That was a wild game, but Moss was really a one-man offensive show in that game for the Athletics. Definitely a run-producing bat. He did undergo the hip surgery. That is corrected, and it sounds like he'll be good to go once spring training rolls around. Let's listen into Rosie's conversation with Moss, the first baseman and outfielder, at first saying he had an idea that he could be on the move out of Oakland. Take a listen.
Well, when you start hearing the news, there's all kinds of rumors go around this time of year, so you don't know how much credit to give any of it, but you definitely start paying attention and following it a little bit. And, doing some things to figure out what you might do if it happened, looking up and seeing where you might live and stuff like that. I actually did start doing that. I was like, well, this rumor seems to be going on a pretty good bit, so I better look and start looking up things. But, once it happened, I was excited because I know how good that team is. I know how young they are and what kind of core group they have. And then they have some really good players. And, the past couple of years, they've been right there on the verge of doing some special things. And they're only going to get better because they're growing together. And to be able to come in, and especially at this time, and be a part of that is really exciting if you're me.
You were part of a very successful Oakland Athletics ball club with some good young talent, but obviously some changes there in the offseason. And were you surprised not only yourself being traded, but some other key players on that club being dealt here in the last couple of months?
Well, I don't know if it was a surprise. I think we all know that that's always a possibility. But, I think I was a little surprised in the fact that, there was the second half decline for the team and there was the second half decline personally. But honestly, both of those could have been chalked up to injuries. I mean, everybody on that team was injured pretty much. Almost all the starting lineup was. And then I myself was dealing with a pretty significant injury. We were all playing through it because we were trying to make it into the playoffs. And, when you're trying to do that, stats don't really matter that much. It was disappointing to see it get broken up just because, for the past few years we had been right there on the verge kind of the same way. And, 2 years in a row we had lost to game 5 to Verlander. And then last year just injuries kind of took their toll. And I felt like, I think we all felt like with one more year we could have together, we might could do something special. But you know what? That wasn't the way it was. And now I get to move on to a group that's actually built kind of the same way. And it's really exciting to be a part of.
And with that perspective, and I know you kind of alluded to it earlier, that what is it that you really like about this Cleveland ball club, obviously in early stages for you as you get to know different people and coaches?
Well, I'm excited. Like I said, I'm in a young group, but they have a really good young pitching staff and a really good young core. Group of guys, and then they brought in some free agents and guys, and they've shown the willingness to do what it takes to try to move their guys into the playoffs. Because once you're into the playoffs, anything can happen and anybody can win. You just have to get hot and you have to get there. And I think as a player, that's all you can ask for is that when you've got that special group and that opportunity for management and for the front office and for the owners to show the willingness to go out and improve the team and do what they need to do. Or what they feel they need to do to take the next step. And that's all you can ask for as a player.
You've played for a good manager in Bob Melvin in Oakland, and I know you've played for current Indians manager Terry Francona briefly during your time in Boston. Enough playing time under him to get a feel for what he's all about, and then also hearing just from other players what he's all about to have a real good feel for what you're getting into here?
Yes, sir. I think if you're around Tito for one day, you know what he's all about. He's all about letting his players play and getting the most out of them and trusting them and being up front with them. And I mean, he's a lot like Bob Melvin in that he's very up front. He's very honest And then, you know, he's going to make his moves in game, but he's going to manage the game according to the game. He's not, you know, he's going to let his players play. And I think as a player, especially nowadays, that's really all you can ask for, because there's so much going on with outside influences and there's all this other stuff going on, that to have your manager in your corner and to have your back and to allow you to just play and be yourself, it just takes away extra pressure that shouldn't be there anyway. And I know for a fact that he's one of the best at that, just like Bob Melvin.
Brandon Moss joining us, new Indians outfielder, first baseman designated hitter. We'll get into more of that in just a moment. But, Brandon, I know you mentioned the playing through injuries in the second half, and you had hip surgery postseason. How are you coming along, and do you have any idea yet whether you'll be ready for spring training and be able to start the season on time?
I feel great. I had knee surgery a few years ago, and the recovery from that was a little bit slower and a little more, it took a little more time, you know, just to move along and progress. But with the hip, I've been feeling great for a while. They kind of keep you held back a little bit just because they can see how good it feels, and they don't want you to do too much because they're trying to make sure everything heals right. But as far as the way it feels and the actual recovery from it, it's going great. And, I think me and the doctors and the trainer and then the rest of us that have been working together on it feel that barring any setback with the rehab, there's no reason I won't be ready for opening day. Just because, you know, once I progress to running, which will start in January, then the progression into doing more things into the hip and rotation-wise should be pretty quick and pretty seamless. So I don't think it should be a big deal at all. I mean, things they've got me doing now, they're pretty baseball-specific motions and things like that, and they're allowing me to do some biking and stuff like that to keep my legs strong and keep them in shape. So I don't think that there should be any problem. But, you know, obviously you can't foresee all setbacks, but I think if we were to judge on how I feel right now, I think I would definitely be ready for opening day for sure.
When you've been healthy, you've put up some real nice numbers, especially power-wise, the last three seasons. When you first got to Oakland, though, I know your career was kind of at a crossroads. How close were you to maybe looking at doing something different before you got that nice opportunity with the Athletics?
I didn't expect to get an opportunity with the A's. I signed, and then I thought, you know, I'll go to AAA, and I signed with Oakland so that I could go to AAA in the PCL and put up some really good power numbers to maybe get an opportunity in Japan. And then I told myself and my wife that if I didn't get an opportunity in Japan that year, then I think that was going to be it, because, you know, you can't constantly keep chasing that dream. You know, you may feel that you're talented and you may feel that you have the ability to do some things, but the opportunity has to be there. And if it's not going to be there, then you're just kind of chasing a pipe dream. And I had a family to think about, and I had a family to provide for. And at the time, if that didn't work out, baseball was really just kind of costing me money to play. As much as I love it and as much as I love to play, you know, when you have a family, you have to think about them first. So it was very close. It was one of those things where I was down to my last try.
And we catch up with Brandon Moss in his off-season home down in Georgia. And Brandon, you're a graduate of Loganville High School, and for fans of the Indians farm system, they know that recent number one draft pick Clint Frazier went to the same high school as you. How much buzz was there around the high school when you returned about him, and how much interaction do you have with a potential new teammate here down the road?
Actually, there was a ton of buzz around him. They had him. And then, you know, in the same town but at a different school, there was another young man named Austin Meadows. But around Frazier, there was a ton of buzz because, honestly, nobody that talented had come out of that area ever. I mean, I know myself, when I came out of high school, and, you know, I had talent, but nothing even close to what Frazier had. He's got raw power ability that I myself have now. I mean, you know, that's the thing that I've always enjoyed about him. See, I work out with the high school team every year before I go to spring training. And so for 4 years, he was always there. And I can remember as a freshman, you know, putting a wooden bat in his hands because he wanted to hit with one, and he could hit balls. I mean, he was putting on home run displays as a freshman. So I could just tell at a young age that he was something special, and he really turned out to be. I think, as he matures and as he grows and as he gets some at-bats under his belt in the professional level, I think Cleveland fans have a lot to be excited about in him, just because, you know, he may not turn out to be a 300 hitter or something like that, but, you know, as far as the game goes these days, those are fewer and far between. But he's got a really good eye, and the man has some pop in his bat, and it's a special kind. It's a very special kind of pop, and you know, I think if I were a Cleveland fan, I would be really, really excited about that draft pick. I really would, because he's special.
All right, that's new Indians first baseman and outfielder Brandon Moss. Jim Rosenhaus recently chatted with him on Tribe Talk, which you hear Saturdays all along the Indians radio network. A special thanks to Rosie for that. Hey, this team, listen, they needed pop in the lineup and a little bit of power. Moss provides just that, and they needed a veteran pitcher, and they added that today with Gavin Floyd, who will open up the season in the Tribe starting rotation, we came to find. So, and coming up a little bit later in the show, we'll get General Manager Chris Antonetti's thoughts on that. But just wanted to kind of point that out. Those were two needs that they did and that they had, the Indians, and they've taken care of both of those so far. All right, next up, it's our news and notes portion of the program. A lot going on in the world of Major League Baseball, especially in the American League Central Division. The White Sox getting busy, the Tigers, the Royals, the Tribe, all of them, even the Minnesota Twins. We'll tell you all about that when we return with news and notes. Keep things locked right here. It's Indians Hot Stove Weekly. Nick Camino with you all along the Cleveland Indians Radio Network.
What the Indians needed. The Indians will win. He scores with a head first slide. This game is tied. Away, way out of here.
Total Tribe coverage continues with Indians Hot Stove Weekly on WTAM 1100, home of the Indians. Here again is Nick Camino.
Just past the halfway point here on Indians Hot Stove Weekly. Time now for our news and notes segment of the program. Boy, is the stove staying hot, not only for the Tribe, but a lot of other clubs throughout Major League Baseball, especially the AL Central. A lot of clubs that we're familiar with, the Tigers, the Royals, the White Sox, and even the Twins, along with the Indians, all of them have been very active. And last year we saw the AL East Division sort of take a step back. You saw some teams maybe struggle that we're not used to seeing. That division wasn't as tough from top to bottom. The AL West was certainly very tough. But the AL Central was getting better last year, and this offseason it's gotten even better. So the AL Central and all those division teams, White Sox, Royals, Tigers, Twins, those are all going to be tough matchups. AL Central's loaded right now. First with the Indians, we've told you about today's signing. They signed right-hander Gavin Floyd, a one-year deal. Coming up, we're going to hear from Indians general manager Chris Antonetti on that. Floyd going to have a spot in the Indians starting rotation next season, according to Antonetti. So that was newsworthy. And as you know, we just heard from Brandon Moss. He joins the Indians via a trade from the Oakland Athletics. He's hoping to provide some pop in the middle of that lineup. Plays first base, plays the outfield, very versatile player. They're hoping he can be a big-time run producer, a guy who can maybe hit you 30 home runs, 90 RBIs. Let's not forget, he was playing in one of the best maybe pitcher's parks in baseball at the Coliseum in Oakland when he was with the Athletics. So he can certainly have an immediate impact on the Indians' offense right away. Over the weekend, the Indians made a couple of minor league signings official. These guys are going to have invites to big league camp next February in spring training in Goodyear, Arizona. They signed two catchers in Brett Hayes and Adam Moore. They also signed outfielder Destin Hood. Around MLB, especially the AL Central, as I told you,
The Kansas City Royals, coming off that World Series appearance, they signed outfielder Alex Rios to a one-year deal worth a reported $11 million. Don't forget, they lost Billy Butler. He's now with the Oakland Athletics. So they add Alex Rios to try and help the offense. They've already signed Kendrys Morales. They're hoping he's finally back to the player he once was. Certainly a nice bat if he is healthy. Still no word on what is happening with James Shields. We'll let you know on that as soon as we find out. The Detroit Tigers, they signed Alfredo Simon and Shane Green. Those two will have an immediate impact on their starting rotation. They also traded right-hander Rick Porcello to the Boston Red Sox in exchange for outfielder slugger Yonis Cespedes. By the way, this is the Indians Hot Stove Weekly Show. That's why we're telling you everything that's going on throughout Major League Baseball this offseason. And how about the Chicago White Sox and what they've been able to do this offseason? Wow. Everybody talks about the Chicago Cubs. And listen, signing John Lester is certainly going to help that club, now managed by Joe Maddon. And they've made a couple other good moves. Theo Epstein and his guys in that front office are doing a tremendous job. But the club on the south side of Chicago, Robin Ventura's boys, the Chicago White Sox, they've been pretty darn busy too. You could argue right now that they may have the best 1-2 punch for a starting rotation in the American League, where they already had lefty Chris Sale, and now they have Jeff Samardzija. Samardzija came over in a trade with the Oakland Athletics. Looks like the Athletics are trying to clean house. Billy Beane is up to his antics again. We'll have to figure that out. Who knows? Knowing them, sometimes they'll find their way back in the mix somehow, some way. But they also recently, I'm talking about the White Sox now, they recently signed Melky Cabrera. Definitely a good bat. They already had signed Adam LaRoche earlier in the offseason, and they have relievers David Robertson and Zach Duke. Jose Abreu is still there. We know Quintana is still there. The Chicago White Sox have really had themselves quite the offseason. If they can put it together, they're going to be battling it out, not only with the Tribe, but the Tigers and the Royals near the top of that division. They've certainly put their hat into the ring. Even the Minnesota Twins have been busy. They just signed right-hander Irvin Santana to a four-year contract. They have a new manager in Paul Molitor. He takes over for Ron Gardenhire. But they still have Joe Mauer. Brian Dozier really seemed to come into his own last year. Kennys Vargas is a guy they're high on. Danny Santana is a guy that they are high on. And let's not forget the arms they already have in that starting rotation, guys like Ricky Nolasco and Phil Hughes. So the AL Central, along with the Indians, really making some noise this offseason and is going to be even better than they were last year. And I thought last year they were much improved. Also around Major League Baseball, the New York Yankees announcing today their general manager, Brian Cashman, saying that Alex Rodriguez, as you know, he's going to be coming back this year. He did serve his one-year suspension. Alex Rodriguez is likely going to be their full-time DH. Chase Headley signed a four-year deal to remain with the Yankees as their third baseman. He'll be playing third there. They also signed left-hander Chris Capuano. He re-signed for a one-year deal to remain with the Yankees. Michael Morse just signed a two-year deal to play with the Miami Marlins. That was worth a reported $8 million. And the Los Angeles Dodgers, who ate a reported $32 million in that trade that sent outfielder Matt Kemp to the San Diego Padres, they just designated Brian Wilson for assignment. He was making $10 million, and that's obviously a very interesting way where you could clear some salary space that you needed or that you didn't want to eat all that money that you did in the Kemp deal. All right, we're going to take a quick timeout. When we come back, we're going to hear from Tribe General Manager Chris Antonetti and the conference call that I had with him today along with some other members of the media talking about the signing of right-hander Gavin Floyd. He's going to be a big piece for this Indian starting rotation. Chris Antonetti telling us today that he is already pegged for a spot in that rotation along with Kluber, Carrasco, and Bauer. Guys competing for the final spot in that rotation will be guys like TJ House, Danny Salazar, Zach McAllister, and Josh Tomlin. So we'll hear from Chris Antonetti when we come back. I've said this throughout the show. I'll say it again, though. The Indians had two needs coming into this offseason. They needed a run-producing bat that could provide a little bit of pop in the middle of the order. That was Brandon Moss. They traded for him, and they needed a veteran starter. And maybe Gavin Floyd can be that guy who they signed today. All right, we'll take a quick timeout. This is your one-stop shop for baseball talk once a week. We devote an entire hour all to baseball. We know the world of sports is busy right now, but we can certainly devote at least an hour to baseball talk. A lot going on throughout Major League Baseball, not only with the Indians, but in the AL Central and throughout all of MLB. This is Indians Hot Stove Weekly. Nick Camino here with you. You're listening to the Cleveland Indians Radio Network.
Total Tribe coverage continues with Indians Hot Stove Weekly on WTAM 1100, home of the Indians. Here again is Nick Camino.
All right, before we get out of here for the night here on Indians Hot Stove Weekly, we're going to let you hear from Tribe General Manager Chris Antonetti. Chris and the front office staying pretty busy this offseason trying to improve the ball club. Earlier today, right after the Indians made the Gavin Floyd signing official. Again, Gavin Floyd signed by the Indians, a one-year deal worth a reported $4 million. Antonetti available to the media on a conference call that I also took part in. You'll hear my voice in this as well. And Antonetti not only talked about the signing of Floyd, but also the type of pitcher they envision him being for Cleveland. Again, he's going to be in the starting rotation for the Indians on opening day. And I'll let Antonetti say the rest, but news on the rotation in here for the Indians, who's going to be competing for that final spot in the rotation, the candidates for that, their plans moving forward this offseason, and also Antonetti's thoughts on how busy and much improved this American League Central Division is going to be in 2015. You look at teams like the White Sox, the Tigers, even the Twins. Teams getting very busy in this division, as well as the Indians. Take a listen, and then we'll wrap things up here on this edition of Indians Hot Stove Weekly. Here's Chris Antonetti with myself and some other members of the media earlier today. Take a listen.
All right. Well, today we announced that we have signed Gavin Floyd to a one-year contract for the 2015 season. I think as we set out this offseason, one of our goals was to try to add a veteran presence to our rotation and add some depth specifically to our pitching staff. And we feel by signing Gavin, we were able to do that and bring in a veteran starter that's had a lot of success in the American League, and when he's been healthy, has proven to be a very effective pitcher. And so we're excited to welcome him into the organization and add him to our pitching staff.
Yeah, how's his elbow?
His elbow's actually fine. We went through an extensive physical. Gavin was here yesterday and went through a physical. His ligament is strong and intact, and the fracture he suffered last year is well healed. And we expect him to be ready for full activity in spring training. We were actually able to observe some of his workouts over the course of this fall, and watched him throw in November out to 120 feet, and he was free and easy at that point, and looked very good and healthy.
Well, he'll be ready like for the start of spring training, Chris?
Yes, that's our expectation.
So it wasn't Tommy John? Was he fractured his elbow?
So he had Tommy John in 2013, came back in 2014, actually pitched really effectively with Atlanta in the first half of the year, and then suffered a fracture of his olecranon in his elbow, and he subsequently underwent a procedure to have that repaired.
So he'll compete for a spot in the rotation then? Is that what you're saying?
Yes, we anticipate he would be in the rotation.
Okay.
Chris, how's his fastball velocity? Because one of the things before Tommy John was everybody talked about how well that was.
His actual fastball velocity last year was actually higher than it had been in the 2011-2012 seasons. So, he looked like he had regained all of his pitches. All of the information we have subjectively and objectively indicate that he got back to full strength before suffering that the injury to his elbow.
Do you feel... obviously, this increases your depth, but does this give you maybe some more flexibility to make an additional move to improve the club?
That wasn't our focus as we started the offseason. We talked about it from the beginning, was to try to add a bat in the middle of the order, which we feel we were able to do with the acquisition of Brandon Moss, and then improve our pitching. And, we always try to build a starting staff that's 8 or 9 deep. And, we felt Gavin was a good addition to the group of guys we already had in place. And we now head into spring training in a position of strength where we have a number of options to choose from for our rotation.
Chris, when he's healthy and pitching well, what do you guys like most about him?
He's a big physical starter with a good fastball and a good complement of secondary pitches. He attacks the strike zone well, controls a running game, and as I said, when he's been healthy, he's had a lot of success in the American League.
Chris, do you feel like his addition boosts his staff or would be blocking one of your younger starters?
I think it certainly increases the competition that we'll have in spring training for the last spot in the rotation. So, as we sit here today, we've got a good group of, eight, where we go at least 8 or 9 starters deep. And, that's one of our goals as we start out each season, is to make sure that we not only have a starting staff that's capable of pitching in the first couple months of the season, but that we can have that depth to sustain the rigors of the 162-game schedule.
Chris, so you think that you're going in with four spots set in the rotation? Is that what you're saying?
Again, things could evolve and change in spring training, but in all likelihood, that's how it sits today.
Okay, and then who the four would be? Who?
Kluber, and again, order could be dependent. Carrasco and Bauer, who are both out of options, and very effective starters, and then Floyd. And then that leaves McAllister, Tomlin, House, Salazar in competition.
Chris, I know you guys are focused on you guys, but what have you thought about the amount of activity that's been going on in the Central Division with the other clubs?
No doubt the other teams in our division have certainly improved themselves over the course of the winter. I think that's always our expectation, as we head into the winter, and that teams will look to improve. And the teams in our division seem to have done an excellent job with that so far this offseason. So we expect it to be a very, very competitive division, and should be a fun race to watch over the course of the summer.
Does that ever change the way that, I know you guys have a plan set for yourselves, but when you see the amount of activity that the other teams have had in getting better, does that ever change your approach to the offseason?
No. I mean, our focus is really to try to build the best team we can, because what we'd like to do is make sure we do our part to secure a postseason berth and ultimately try to win a World Series. So we're not only competing with the teams in our division, but across baseball. And the best way to do that is to build the best team we can and not necessarily react to anything that's going on with anyone else.
All right, that's Indians general manager Chris Antonetti talking earlier today. So there you have it. They're hoping to still improve the roster, but Gavin Floyd going to have a job in that starting rotation next season when it starts right after spring training. They plugged him in right into that starting rotation. He's got a job. He's going to be joined by Corey Kluber, Carlos Carrasco, and Trevor Bauer in no specific order there. That can obviously be changed. The guys competing for that final spot in the rotation will be Josh Tomlin, TJ House, Zach McAllister, and Danny Salazar. Brandon Moss, we heard from him earlier in the show, a big production-type, offensive production, offensive run-producing-type bat that they added. He's got some power. He can drive in some runs. They've added that, and now they added Gavin Floyd. Those were two needs that they've taken care of so far. That's going to do it for us tonight here on this edition of Indians Hot Stove Weekly. We'll be back with you. Same place, same time. We love checking in each week. 1 hour devoted to baseball talk. Have a great rest of your night, a great rest of your week. Stay safe out there. You've been listening to the Indians Hot Stove Weekly Show. Nick Camino here with you all along the Cleveland Indians Radio Network.
You're the winner at every game.
This ball is way back there, way back there, way back, baby, bye-bye.
Swing and a long drive, deep right field, forget about it, going, going, gone, goodbye.
Hey, get up, get out of here, go.
A swing and a miss! Ball game!
It's the hits, the homers, the double plays. It's how you feel when we win. So catch Indian Fever.
Be a believer
with the Cleveland Indians.